thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google Plus or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
The wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I...
It's all right. Tell somebody it's all right. All right.
All right.
Listen.
Come on, Pastor.
When I started on my journey, I was a lone and lonesome soul. I didn't know who I was or where I wanted to go. There was an emptiness inside me that I could never seem to feel. There was a longing in my heart that the world just couldn't feel. Oh, but it's all right. It's all right. Yeah. Now, people used to tell me that I could do it on my own. Every time I tried it, I found myself alone. Then I went to my neighbor. I said, neighbor, I need your help. Listen. He said, I'm sorry, my brother, because I'm looking for help myself. Oh, but it's all right. It's all right. I don't care what nobody says. It's all right. Jesus said, listen. Then I heard a knocking on my door. When my heart I opened, I said I knew it was the Lord. Told me that he loved me and he gave me peace within. forgave me my trespasses, and then he cleansed my heart from sin. Oh, now it's all right. It's all right. Yeah, all right. Yes, it is. I don't know what you're going through, but I need you to know today, if you put your trust in Jesus, everything will be all right. Yes, it is. It's already, already, already all right. Yeah, Lord. All right, all right. All right. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier. 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 Well, I feel all right. Said I feel all right. I feel all right. Said I feel all right. Got my war clothes on. 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 Come on, put your hands together. I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier in the army. I wanted to quickly just go on last week. We dealt with the issues of faith, and we're moving continually in that again, because we are a family of faith. We talked about the acronym Forsaking All, I Trust Him. And faith means forsaking all, I trust Him. But that T is also able to be used as I take Him, meaning I choose Him above every circumstance and situation. And then it can be a THANK, I thank Him in advance for everything that He's going to do. But the ultimate end is I can't take Him or thank Him unless I trust Him. And so I want to make faith clear to the believer's heart and life that they literally, without thinking, operate on a faith level. How do you do that? You believe in faith. You walk faith. You talk faith. You operate in faith. In other words, you become a faith-filled believer. It's not something you have to make a choice of saying or doing. When you operate on this level, it's automatically faith. As a matter of fact, you have to choose not to believe. When you're walking on the level God wants you, you're going to have to just make up your mind and say, I will not. You remember when Thomas missed Jesus showing up? And they were telling him about Jesus on Resurrection Day, had come and ministered to him. Thomas said, I will not believe until I can put my hand in his hand and my finger thrust it in his side. He made it clear. Now, he was a believer, but this was so marvelous for him. He made a choice. I just won't believe until. And so when you begin to operate in faith, you want to be at that level so much so that the option is to not believe if you're going to do anything rather than to be in a situation where you have to choose to believe. And so I do realize that this is one of the areas the enemy defeated and defeats us more constantly in than any other, because faith is connected with our every area and arena of life. Every situation you're dealing with, whether it's finances, whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether, you know, it's your job, whether it's whatever, faith enters into that decision. When you wake up and what you decide you're going to eat and what you're going to do and what you're going to put on, and all that, faith enters into all of that. What we don't realize is how much of our faith is used on a daily basis. Because when Jesus was asking the men when the storm had appeared about their faith, notice he didn't say, you know, that they did not have faith. He questioned where was their faith. See, Romans 12 and 3 says God has given every man a measure of faith. You got it. The question is, where are you placing it? What are you doing to use it, and what are you using it for? So here's something I want us to start thinking about. I want us to recognize that simply faith is believing what God said. Faith is believing God can do what God said. Faith is that God cannot lie. And faith is if I agree with him and align my life up with his, I shall have everything he says I shall have. Now, when you start thinking on that order, first of all, you need to know there is no short or shortage or issues with the granting power of God. What he did then, he does now and will do until the end of time. So our problem is never with God. Our problem may be with what God said, whether or not we've got enough faith to believe it and to take it and exercise it. Our problem may be that we don't have enough word in us to build up and exercise our faith, because God said what he meant and he meant what he said. So if he said what he meant and meant what he said, if it don't happen to me, then who is the culprit? Somebody lied. And God has already declared he's not a liar. Matter of fact, he's not even a man that he should make up a lie. He ain't got that to do. He's so far above man that even if he tried to tell a lie, it would come true. That's just how powerful he is. So he just needs you to understand who you're dealing with. So listen again. I want us actually to just delve in. This is the assignment today, to delve back into Hebrews 11. And verse 4 is really where I want to get to today, and I'm going to try and get there as quickly as I possibly can. Because verse 4 begins the personalities of faith, where, you know, the actual people who experienced this level of faith that included them in what we consider a faith's hall of fame, it begins at verse 4. But before the personalities come the principles. And so I want us to look again at the principles. I'm not going to deal too much with them today because that's not really where I'm trying to go. But I do want to include them just the segue into verse 4. Rita, begin 11 and 1 of Hebrews.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith. is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Right, hold on, right. All right, one of the things we already know is that faith is always when? Present now, always now. If you got to wait for it, it's not faith. You're gonna believe now, now, now. See, there's too much play you give the enemy between now and then. So many things have happened between now and then. So with faith, and well, just to make clear how your faith must be developed, and you can say what you want to say, but the truth of the matter is when you're dealing with the spirit realm, the Spirit of God knows, and even Satan himself has an inkling of what's real with you. How does Satan know? Because Satan knows that you're going to hold fast to that which is right, and you're going to avoid rebuke. You're going to hold off on those things that he's trying to do. So where do you get that ability to do that? That comes from Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh what? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right? So keep in mind that that's a part. And that's one of the reasons why the enemy don't want you to hear the same word over and over again. Because when you hear it over and over again, it's building up your most holy faith. It is going down and further substantiating that word in your heart. It's making sure your foundation is so strong that when situations and circumstances happen, you don't have to worry about checking your foundation out, because it's going to hold up under any pressure or weight. So once you got that straight, it's about dealing with what's on top, because what's on the bottom is going to hold you through everything. So notice he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, if it's substance, that means it has something to it. The only thing that has substance to it that you can't see is the word of God. Anything else is just empty words. But when God says something, that's substantive. That has all the necessary ingredients to fulfill whatever God has said. So we recognize that now faith is the substance, the thing to hold on to, the root ground foundation of things not seen. In other words, because he said it, I know one day I'll see it. See, the substance is his word. That's why it's so important, my brother, my sister, not to believe all of these cliches and all of these sounding good and all these little things we throw out in religious cliques and formations and stuff like that sound good, that you can't go back in your Bible and find nowhere. It sounds good, but if God didn't say it, he's not under warrant to back it up. So what you do is you go like the Bereans and say, now let me find this. Ah, there it is. And once you find it, it ain't based on what they said. It's based on what the word says. Listen, because you got some folk who ain't going to believe you no way. You remember the woman at the well? When Jesus wanted a dip of water, she said, what Samaritans and Jews have to do with each other? And so forth and all that. And Jesus told her everything she'd ever done. And she ran back in town and told the men, come see a man that told me everything I ever wore. They said, oh, Lord. But they wanted to see this man. And so they came and they saw and they heard. And listen to what they said. They say, we believe not because you said, because we've experienced it ourselves. But what they don't realize is it's what she said that brought them in to meet him. She said, come see a man. Y'all ought to hear me here today. So you might not be the reason why people come, but you ought to tell them, come see a man. Because once the man sees them and they see the man, they won't leave the same way they came.
And that's all the Lord is trying to get us to do, to witness of his word, of his power, of his ability. And when folk get a touch of that, they know it's real. When they heard Jesus themselves, they know this wasn't no funny business here. This was the real deal. And they got saved. And they had to confess on the funny style. We believe because we heard you. All right, whatever it takes, it's okay. We just want you saved. Now, I'm saying this because, again, it's important to recognize, and I want it as simple can be. If it's in the Word and God said it, all you have to do is make sure, and that's what you've got a little studying to do, to make sure that it is relevant for you today. Why? Because there are some promises God made to certain people at certain periods of time that was for them only. Then there are promises he made for people in the past, in the present, and in the future. Make sure. And then there are promises he's made for people today. So, so what you want to claim is yours. To claim someone else's does not bring it to pass. That's why you want to make sure when you quote or claim a thing, it is regarded as fit for you, ready for you, prepared for you, and you're receiving that and operating in that. And God will then bring that to pass. Because all of those promises, which you must understand, is dispensationally placed. What that literally means is none of this is going to happen outside its timing. If it's dispensation, if it's dispensationally placed in the past of the Old Testament, guess what? You missed it. You missed it. But if it's for us today, all we have to do is connect or agree or align ourselves with what God said, and those things that he promised us will come to us. If it's some future promise or blessing, etc., for some future audience, guess what again? We're ahead of time. That's not meant for us. That's meant for them. And so you can't expect God to honor what you have not even taken out the time to check out. See, that's why you have got to study to show yourself approved unto who? You ain't trying to impress pastor. And it's fine if you try and do that, but that ain't going to do much for you getting what you're trying to impress him with. If you want to impress me, get what you say you're going to get from the Lord. And then come back and shout, I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted. I got just where I wanted from the Lord. And you can then, listen, if you do it once, you can do it again. And when you start learning that I can do this over and over and over again, you get so excited. You'll be like, now, wait a minute, wait. You mean to tell me I've been missing out on my blessing because I ain't been walking by true faith and understanding I can change my atmosphere, but it might have to start with my attitude. I've got to learn that what God has for me, he means it's for me. And all I've got to do is come to that point and place where my faith pleases God. For by it, verse 2, I'm sorry, I'm going to hit read.
For by it, the elders obtain a good report.
For by what? For by faith, the elders, all of these who have gone on before and all of these who have operated in this thing called faith, they obtained a good report. In other words, if you're operating by faith, you're going to receive a good report. You know, Moses sent out 12 spies. 10 had a bad report. 2 had a good report. 10 said, listen, man, Moses wasn't lying. That land does flow Canaan with milk and honey. And yes, they have beautiful homes and walled cities. And it's a great place. But what Moses didn't tell us was there were giants there. Jacob, Caleb and Joshua said, wait, don't listen to that mess, Moses. We can take this thing. Come on, right now, let us go up and possess it at once. In other words, listen, what is faith? Now, old man, 80 years old, named Caleb. Joshua, warrior, strong and young. Matter of fact, he was the one who followed Moses into the leadership of Israel. Them two together were the minority report. The 10 were the majority report. But listen, that ought to give you a helpful holy hint as to how God operates. He don't go along with stuff just because everybody's doing it. Sometime it may be you and maybe another, but wherever two or three touch, agree, believe, operate in faith together, guess where he is? Right in the midst. Right in the midst. So don't look for everybody to agree with you. Agree with God. Agree with his word. Agree with what he said. And know that, listen, if the one you agree with agrees with you, it doesn't matter how many disagrees with you, you're going to get what it is you agree with and agree to. And that's, listen, that's so relevant and important for you to know today. See, our problem too many times is our focus is on the wrong thing. It's on the wrong people. Listen, when you recognize, you know, there are some things I can't change, but he can. And there are some things he won't change, but that's because he want to change me. See, listen. Sometimes in order for God to develop us and to bring us to where we need to be, instead of changing the situation, he needs to change you and how you feel about the same situation. Remember again, I've shared this with you before, Jesus getting ready to go to Calvary. He said, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. But God didn't change that. But what he did do when Jesus prayed three times is he changed how Jesus felt about it. And when Jesus, who had been changed on the inside, listen, God didn't change the problem. He changed how he felt about the problem. And so sometime God wants to show you he's so big, bigger than your problems, that he gets inside of you and make your problem of non-effect. I think I said something like Brother Denny Days would say. What I'm trying to tell you is sometimes when you know God has the power to do a thing and he doesn't do it, maybe he's trying to do a greater work in you than in the thing you're trying to get him to do it in. Because what you've got to recognize is what he's doing in you is greater than that one situation you're facing. And once you get that done in you, then everything else that comes after that is a piece of cake. Because you have attained a whole nother level. God bless you. Our time is out today. I ain't even got to verse 3, Lord Jesus. Give the Lord a hand of praise if you will. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you now as we open the doors of the church and extend to someone the opportunity to know this Jesus and the faith that he had in giving his life so that whosoever will could come, be changed, transformed. And Father, we thank you for the believers who made the sacrifice to be here today to hear what you are saying to us afresh, how you're stirring up us